The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Really looking forward to today's show. And Tom Brenneman is going to be with us from Cincinnati, where the Bengals are the talk. And he is very close with Brian Billick, who Arizona State just hired to be part of their football program. And just chopping it up with Tom Brenneman. Tommy will be with us. That comes up at 10:20. And then the professor, Paula Bovin. We have not had Paula on the show in a long, long time. And those of you that go back to us when we first started in 2011, Paula was a weekly and would fill in and we'd do stuff together. And, you know, she went over to Cronkite and it was fine. We'd still do that. But then she went to the college football playoff. And that basically was the end of Paula being able to be open and free about her ideas on college football because she couldn't. She was part of the college football playoff committee, one of 12, a tremendous honor for her. And after the last 4 years now, she's done. And we had this discussion as time went by of, when you get done, I'd like to have you on to pull the curtain back. Maybe there's some things around college football and the playoff that you didn't know that this group would do, how they went about their process. And so Paula's agreed to come on. I think there's probably some lines I'm going to have to walk up to. And she may slap me on the wrist, as Paula's good at doing. But I'm very much looking forward to having the professor. So Tom Brenneman and Paula Bovin with us. And each really, really interesting and looking forward to them. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. I've been in a fog, those of you that have been watching this, because of the passing of my mother-in-law a couple of weeks ago. And I just feel like I'm coming out of it. I can't say enough how nice some of you have been and taking the time to just, you know, hang in there. I appreciate that. Life gets in the way, as I like to say, when we do this day in and day out. And there's some days, quite frankly, in the last, I don't know, 6 weeks, I haven't been here. I mean, I've been here, you see me, but it's just been really hard. So day by day, that's how we go about it. On the sports front, so I sat here last night in my office and I watched the Suns game. I watched it over on ESPN. Here's why. I know what the Suns broadcast is going to be like, and this isn't critical of them, okay? I wanted to hear what the national guys that they put on the game last night and what their view is, was. And you can tell crews that come in the day of games and crews that really put their time and efforts into it. I thought Mark Jackson and Mark Jones did a nice job last night. It's fine. There was not stating the obvious. And the way that Devin Booker played early and often, and Mark Jackson actually dropped Hall of Famer when talking about Devin Booker. Oh, I'm a big Devin Booker fan. I loved having him come in as a kid. We shot a pilot with him when he was, I don't know, 20, downtown Phoenix. Loved to see him grow. And when he said Hall of Famer, I was just looking at it saying, yeah, probably. Do you have to win titles? Well, Charles didn't win titles. You know, that's not the defining moment. Clearly, he's on that trajectory. Is he there yet? Does a Hall of Famer get overlooked when it comes to the NBA All-Star voting, which is nothing more than a popularity contest? For me to say what a joke it is that Devin Booker isn't a starter on the All-Star team, would be an understatement. And you guys know this. You see him. This isn't rah-rah orange and purple pom-poms. It's just pretty simple. I watch the NBA. He's one of the best players out on the floor. That's it. Now, last night when he picked up his technical foul, Mark Jackson got into him. He just said, you got to be better than that. You got to let it go. We've seen moments where Devin, through the years, has had that show of anger. And when a team has the best record in the league and they're the number one defense in the league and he's having a great night and on and on, that was pretty good that Mark got into him a little bit. I'm fine with that because it's not a finished product. I would think Devin Booker would even agree. I'm not a finished product. If I don't win like the whole thing about being a starter in the All-Star game, who gives a rat's? Who cares? Well, he's not a starter in the All-Star game. Oh, I'm so offended. Really? There's other things to be offended about in life than starting the All-Star game. The goal should be, I don't care about the All-Star game and the big picture. I want to be named the MVP of the NBA Championship Series. That's what I want. That's what I'm aiming to do. So if along the way I have to go to some city for 3 days and do the three-point shootout and wear cool jerseys and go, oh, and hold up numbers when somebody does a dunk contest just to market the NBA, play for a few minutes in a glorified scrimmage in February, like that stuff doesn't even matter. Shouldn't even matter. But he will show up and do it for the fans, for you guys. And that's great. That's smart. He should. But when people get over the top offended and write columns and talk ad nauseum about what an injustice it is, I don't know. There's bigger injustices in the world than a guy being passed over for the All-Star game just because Klay Thompson's been in the Bay Area a long time and won titles. We are so offended so easily on things that just don't matter. Devin Booker getting to the NBA Finals, that's the goal. It's not whether or not he'll start. He'll get named to the team, that's probably a bigger honor. As Frank Isola was telling us earlier this week. Today in the NFL coaching circles, so there's a lot of chatter out of Jacksonville that Adrian Wilson's going to leave the Cardinals and go be the next GM of the Jaguars, and that Byron Leftwich will join him. Good luck to both. Good luck to both. We see what's happened in Jacksonville. You could be the guys that get it turned around. You've got Trevor Lawrence. You have an owner that just flips the script every few years. One of those franchises. There's a lot of them in the NFL. And so, you know, for someone like Adrian, if that's what he wants to do, good luck to him. We've seen Adrian here for years, and, you know, go put your hand on it. If you've learned enough from Rod Graves and Steve Keim and Jason Light and all the good people that have been here or were here, knock yourself out. You should aspire for greatness. I think the bigger story in the NFL today is what happened in Denver. Nathaniel Hackett, who's the Packers offensive coordinator, takes the Denver Broncos head coaching job. So immediately, Jerry Jeudy's out, Aaron Rodgers is going to show up, Devontae Adams is going to show up, and the whole world, and this will be talked about. this will fill hours of programming. You know, the flight tracker number where they track tail numbers on planes. Aaron Rodgers got to be on a plane to Denver, you know. So I don't know if he'll be a good head coach or not. I don't know. Denver seemed to run through their guys. They haven't found the quarterback, obviously. Does the connecting the dots make all the sense? Sure. Ben Roethlisberger retired today. It's kind of a, you know, yeah, it happened. Aaron Rodgers was going to go to Pittsburgh. Is Pittsburgh a better place for Aaron Rodgers than Denver? Is Miami a better place for Aaron Rodgers than Green Bay or Pittsburgh or Denver? Go around the league, and if Aaron Rodgers decides he wants to do this, and just because today his former offensive coordinator is the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, today it's connecting the dots, that's where he would head. Kurt Warner's son is in the news cycle today here in the Valley. So I have not seen Elijah Warner play in person. Never got out to watch Brophy this last year, and then the year before he was hurt. I saw him the night he got hurt. It was a TV game. Just happened to have it on a Friday night here in my office, and I was like, that's Kurt's kid. I want to see how he plays. And he's not a finished product by any stretch of the imagination, but today he commits to go to Temple. Good for him. Great move. Go somewhere and play. Go somewhere and play. Next week is National Letter of Intent Day. I'm hearing Arizona State is finally going to bust through here in the state, hearing that today. We'll see if it happens because stuff can flip in a nanosecond. And that's pretty much it. I mean, last night, I'll just go back to the Suns for a minute. They didn't have McGee. They didn't have Crowder. They didn't have Ayton. They haven't had Ayton a lot this year. They have the best record in the league. They have the number one defense overall. Chris Paul played some heavy minutes again. Booker played heavy minutes. Bridges played heavy minutes. Cam Johnson played heavy minutes, and they won. So, you know, they're home to Minnesota tomorrow night. They should win that. You really look at the schedule and the way that it lays out, and they should win 9 out of 10 games. You know, when they run into the Warriors, who seem to have their number, But there isn't another team that I look at and say, wow, top to bottom in the Western Conference, do I feel like the Clippers have their, no. Lakers, certainly not. Portland, no. Denver, maybe. But I think they can get past Denver up and down the court. They can just outrun them if they want. And their defense is that good. Go down to Texas. Dallas has, I think there's some matchup problems in Dallas. You know, it's January. These teams aren't showing everything they can do. And we still have the trade deadline to go through. Even today, Brooklyn had to come out and say, we're not interested in shipping James Harden out. Well, it's kind of interesting that that's floated out there. We're not interested. That means you could be interested. You didn't say, no, we're not trading him ever, ever, ever. It just means, you know, today on January 27th, when they're asked about it, we're not interested in moving James Harden. Let's just see. Stuff gets put out in our world. Our industry gets used all the time to do trial balloons to see, well, who's out there? Who would call? What if we did? Hey, man, we saw that you weren't interested. Well, maybe that's people on the Lakers end of things. It would be, because the Lakers are always out there, and they're not good right now. They're not. And behind the scenes, you have agencies and agents that want their players to end up in a certain space. And maybe they're not as happy as they once were when they landed at a spot like Brooklyn, so it gets floated. You have to look at that stuff. You know, if Brooklyn's not healthy, are the Bulls a team that really scare the Suns? No. Back to the West, San Antonio, heck no. Houston, not a chance. It's pretty much like the Suns are sitting there above and beyond everyone except Golden State. 7-game series could go either way. What needs to change? What needs to happen? You know, when the Warriors, you've got Steve Kerr coaching against Monty Williams, who has the edge on that. But I really believe where we sit right now, like last night, yeah, Utah put up a struggle. Utah put up a fight. But Utah's not going to beat the Suns in a 7-game series. I just said it. It's there. Chairman of the board, Iron Man's got it on tape. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. All right. Tom Brenneman from Cincinnati. The feeling around the Bengals, does he have orange and black on? Because what a story in Cincinnati as they get ready to take on Kansas City. And then the professor, Paula Bovin. How far are we going to go on the college football playoff with her before? She's like, no. You can't go to, you know, we'll have that for you as well. Stay with us. We're back after this timeout. All right, let's take a minute here to talk about DraftKings. This is important, guys. The football season is rolling on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Really happy to have them on board. Here's how to claim this offer. Sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Act now. This offer won't be around forever, thanks to DraftKings. All right, as promised, I got to get a vibe from Cincinnati and none better than Tom Brenneman. Tommy is with us, and you can check out his podcast. Your podcast is going really well when I'm just looking here at your guest list. And why don't you give people that first and foremost, and just great to catch up. And I'm sure the city and the region is buzzing with Bengals.
It is amazing, Brad. You know, when it was funny, when I was watching the game last Saturday, with my son, and he's a junior in high school. And I thought to myself, it just brought back so many great memories of my senior year in high school. And it's going way back to 1982, but that was the year the Bengals reached their first Super Bowl. Kenny Anderson was a quarterback, Chris Collinsworth, Anthony Munoz, guys, James Brooks, you know, a bunch of other guys. And it was just so cool to experience that as a kid. To have your city's team playing in the AFC Championship in this case, or the Super Bowl. And so, you know, you think about it, they went one other time to the AFC Championship in the Super Bowl in 1988. And now here they are after some awful years and in a number of good years under Marvin Lewis, but they just couldn't win a playoff game.
Right.
And now all of a sudden this Joe Burrow shows up on the scene, and Brad, it is morning, noon, and night, as you know. I mean, you've been there when the Cardinals have done it, The Diamondbacks have done it. The Suns have done it. It's really exciting stuff in the town.
What is what's Joe Burrow mean to the community, or is it more than just him? Because yeah, the Ja'Marr Chase comes in and people are losing their minds over him. Joe Mixon comes in. There's some personalities, it looks like, from a distance.
Well, you know, Burrow, I think Brad made just an impact as a human being. If you'll remember when he won the Heisman, now he's from a little town in southeast Ohio, Athens, Ohio. It's where Ohio University is. I went to college there, and I'm very familiar with the area. His father was a football coach under Frank Solich there for the last number of years. In fact, just until 2 years ago when Joe was going to play his senior year at LSU and his dad stepped down. I wouldn't be surprised to see his dad go back because he's still a sharp guy. But you might remember during the Heisman speech, he wore a T-shirt that promoted the 740 area code. And he told the story how he went to school. Athens is a very rural, borderline Appalachia area. And in one day when he won the Heisman, their annual donations per year for this food bank in Athens, Ohio, was probably, I think it was something like $15,000 or $20,000. The day after he won the Heisman and started all of that stuff to promote it, they went to a $700,000 donation to a food bank in Athens, Ohio. So I preface it by saying he's an Ohio kid. He's got his head screwed on. He comes from a great family. The Bengals, obviously, you have to stink to get the number one pick, and they got
it. They've stunk.
He is unbelievable. I mean, he keeps getting hit. He keeps getting sacked. He tore his ACL last year. The guy gets off the deck. He never blames anybody. He just goes out there and competes, and man, can he play. He can really play.
Yeah. If they win on Sunday, what would the people of Cincinnati? I mean, really, Tommy, as you're sitting there, if you're watching the game Sunday and they're going to actually win, do you go downtown? What would it be like?
Boy, you know, Brad, it's been so long. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's been so long since this town, and believe me, it would be all of those things. I have no doubt whatsoever. But this city, up until the University of Cincinnati's run into the college football playoff here, you know, at the beginning of the month, it has been lean around here for a long time. The Reds have not been very good for a long time. I mean, the Bengals have not been very good for a while. UC basketball is really kind of taken a step back since Mick Cronin left. The same with Xavier basketball, a powerhouse for many years. They've kind of, you know, they're ranked, but they're not what they were. And so it's been pretty lean around here. And so, like I said, this town, you know, and the people watching this show know, whatever town you live in, whether they're in Phoenix or whether they're in Cincinnati or wherever they are, they know when you have a team that is doing, you got to remember, Brad, I mean, there were people who were quote unquote experts. And believe me, I've been wrong a lot more than right. But there were a lot of people that thought this team wouldn't win five games this year. So that's kind of like, I think everybody around here thought with Burrow, Mixon, Chase coming in, you know, Tyler Boyd, you've got T. Higgins, you got a really good defense. The defense gets overlooked a lot. They've got a good, solid defense, and they spent a lot of money for the first time in free agency to go out and get guys like Hendrickson, who, you know, had 14 sacks, whatever he's got. Hilton, the corner, who had a pick. Eli Apple, he set up a pick. They've done a lot of good things. Von Bell, they've done a lot of good things in free agency. They got a good team. I mean, it's going to be hard to win at Kansas City, but they've got a good team.
Tom Brenneman with us for a couple of minutes. Plug your podcast quick.
It's Dialed In with Tom Brenneman, and we try to get, you know, some really good guests. I had a fascinating conversation this week. It's a two-parter with Chris Myers. See him on Fox TV. Yeah. I did not know, and I've spent a lot of time with Chris. We've worked a lot of events together. I did not know he was the only guy that interviewed O.J. Simpson back when he had his up-close show. This was within about 7 months of him being found not guilty in the murders of his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. And to hear him tell this story of the amount of prep work leading up to it, because they knew they were going to get him to do it, and then the actual, from the time O.J. Simpson walks in the room to the time he leaves – is just breathtaking to hear this, these stories about that.
Check it out. Tom Brenneman's podcast. Tommy with us for a few minutes from Cincinnati. On your podcast a couple of weeks ago, you had Brian Billick. Brian is someone that you've done games with in the past at Fox. Arizona State hired him earlier this week. It raised a few eyebrows. Yep. What do you make out of it?
Well, I'm really excited for him because he is a good man and a good friend. And I so much enjoyed working the NFL games with him the 4 or 5 years we were together. And we've stayed in contact. He just moved to Ohio, strangely enough. He has a daughter that lives in a suburb of Columbus, Ohio. He wanted to be closer to two of his grandkids. And so him and his wife, Kim, they sold this enormous property they had right on the coast of Baltimore and the shore there. And they bought a house in the suburb, and he helped coach Pee Wee football this past year. And he's enjoying being a granddad. He's a good man. I've always wondered, Brad, why this has taken so long for anything like this to happen. You know, I shared with him that I've worked with two guys that Bob Brenly, who wins a World Series as manager of the Diamondbacks, yep. Probably would have won a second one had Gonzo and Tony Womack not gotten hurt that year in 2002. And then Brian Billick, who won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. Now, Billick was a head coach for 9 years. They made the playoffs 5 times. His winning percentage is one of the best all time for coaching X number of seasons in the league. And neither one of them have ever gotten a job since, either a manager's job or a head coaching job. And I've always wondered why. You know, I mean, Brian Billick, people forget, when he ran the offense as an offensive coordinator under Dennis Green in Minnesota, I believe it was 88. Randy Moss is there. Culpepper's a quarterback. You know,
Chris Carter.
They
probably
set the all-time record 2 years in a row for virtually every statistical category there was offensively in NFL history, including points in a season and most yards gained in a season. So Billick was like this wonder kind, you know, sort of guy that out there, that, and then he gets a job with the Ravens. But I just don't understand why this hasn't happened sooner. And I have to believe this means nothing but good things. It can only be a positive. I don't care how old the guy is.
Right.
If he knows offense and he's followed football and he stayed in the game, whether it be with Fox or the NFL Network, he's watching game film. He's breaking down tapes every single week. He knows what he's doing. So, I think this has to help Herm in trying to get Arizona State where they want to go.
Yeah. I think it's a smart move. It's just, how will he be? And this isn't criticism. It's just, how will he be on the recruiting trail if he goes out on the recruiting trail? Because nowadays, what a kid wants is just get me to the NFL as quickly as possible. Yes, you've been there, but can he work a room as effectively as Lincoln Riley? I don't know. Can he work a room as effectively as an assistant?
Well, he can work a room now. You're right. I don't know if he can work a room like Lincoln Riley or Ryan Day or, you know, somebody. Yeah. I have no idea. Yeah. But I do know this. Nick Saban's an old guy. Mm-hmm. And he stayed connected with kids. Brian has stayed, you know, he just coached the Hula Bowl last week. So he was the head coach of the Hula Bowl game last week. So, or the Senior Bowl, whatever, I think it was a Hula Bowl. They moved it to Orlando because of travel restrictions. But he has stayed connected, and he's very smart, one of the smartest people I've ever been around. He is confident. He's a great dude. He can relate to anybody. I don't care how old you are. And so how much recruiting he's going to be asked to do, I don't know. I tried to call him in the last couple of days, and he's been swamped, and he sent me a text back. I'll get back to you in a day or two. So I was hoping I'd talk to him before you and I did this today. I did not, but I can't wait to hear more about it. Football, whether it be high school, college, pros. Now, you've got a great NBA team out there this year, so I'm sure the vibe and the feel out there with the Suns is very different than a place like this, which relies on great college basketball.
Sure.
But, you know, the NFL and college football, good Lord, and high school football. I mean, the amount of people showing up for these games and the amount of people that are watching on television, that product is unbelievable. Yeah. The sport of football. And again, I said earlier, I'm wrong more than I'm right, but that's why I just snickered at so many of these, you know, these elite people telling us four, five, six, 7 years ago when that concussion movie comes out with Will Smith. Great movie, true story, whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. Oh, we've got to keep our kids from playing football. They can't play football. They're going to get concussions. And I thought to myself, have you ever driven through the state of Ohio or the state of Texas or this, where you have these vast amounts of land and you've got these cities that all of a sudden will show up? And they have inner cities and they have African-American kids or they have rural kids that are in the middle of nowhere where their only chance to get to college and to get a scholarship to college and a chance to be successful in life for a lot of those kids is playing football. They're going to play football. And I don't see any shortage of talent. I mean, they're spitting out years left. And so, you know, it's I snicker when I read stuff like that, because that sport is just continually doing, you know, one of these.
And I think in fairness too on it, while I'll see a kid that will have three, four, five concussions early, and I'll see Pop Warner coaches that are old school that say blows to the head as a 7 or 8 year old is not a big deal. It's come on, guys.
Yeah.
Because I have seen the kid drunk out of the straw. I have seen the kid, or you've seen it too, the athlete that when they retire, they're a lost soul because they are struggling with their faculties. But you've got a son in lacrosse. Lacrosse is a great, great sport that is getting a little more attention. Yep. The plateauing of soccer in our country. There's other opportunities, I think, as a high school dad. Are you seeing that? You've had to have been enjoying this time with your son. To see him, he's an aspiring broadcaster. Mm-hmm. He's in sports. You have time with your son that you're able to connect and bond through sport.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had a chance last year. You know, there's a blessing in every curse. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, my daughter was a senior last spring. So I got to go to every single graduation thing there was, not just the graduation day, but the parties and some of the, and then she went off to college in the fall. And our son was a starting goalie of our high school team. It's a public high school. We only have about 110 kids in a graduating class. Hmm. But a guy started lacrosse in this tiny little town where we live 30 something years ago. And there's only two divisions in football. There's like eight in Ohio. In lacrosse, there's only two, and we are the biggest powerhouse Division II lacrosse program in the state. And so he won the starting goalie job as a sophomore last year, and they won the state championship. And I got to go to every single game, watch every single minute of it, the highs and the lows and the emotions of having a kid in sports or music or, you know, theater or whatever it might be. And it was a phenomenal spring. And they're getting ready to ramp it up again this year, and we'll see if they can go back to back.
When this is on the personal side, since we're both chopping it up, in 2004, when I almost lost my wife and our son, who's now 17, it was code pink, code blue. And I get a call, they nicked her placenta, and I get a call from the TV station saying, hey, we need you to get out to San Diego on Randy Johnson. Something was going on. Well, 2 days after that happened, son is still in NICU. I'm like, are you hearing yourself? I'm not doing this.
Right.
You know, you have to understand that you guys need to have a heart about what's going on. And I think as broadcasters, and I try to teach this when I talk to young, life gets in the way, one. Two, you get so busy doing games or being at events that you're going to miss some things with your family. And it's great to hear that you are in that space. As you said, curse, blessing, you're going to be blessed as you go through it. You know, you just keep banging away on it.
Yeah, it's all you can do. It's all you can do. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Plug the podcast one more time and I'll let you go.
Dialed In with Tom Brenneman. You can find it on Apple, you know, Spotify, wherever you find your pod. The Believe Network is actual host of it. But tune in. You might like some of the guests, and we try to, you know, some people we extend it out over two episodes. We've had one of the ones that the one I would recommend to people to watch, to listen to, is a guy named Mike Reed. Now, a lot of people in Arizona may not remember the name Mike Reed. He was the College Football Defensive Player of the Year 2 years in a row at Penn State University. Mm. He was the fifth pick in the NFL draft by the Cincinnati Bengals in 1971 or 72. He is an All-Pro his first 4 years in the league. And all the records that Aaron Donald has been breaking for sacks in first year, second year, third year, fourth year, all belonged to Mike Reed. But his heart was always as a musician and a pianist and a songwriter. After playing in the league for 4 years, an All-Pro every year, he quit football to start playing in a bar in Cincinnati. He has gone on to write, I think it's 57 or 58 number one hits in both country for people like going way back for Ronnie Millsap and Bonnie Raitt, people like that, all the way to Michael Jackson and Neil Diamond and Kenny Chesney. And I mean, he is a facet. Now he writes musicals and opera. He would be a very interesting one to dial in. His name's Mike Reed. It's called Dialed In with Tom Brenneman.
Dialed In with Tom Brenneman. He will be the guy with orange and black face paint on. You do do that on Sundays?
You better believe it, brother.
I love that.
You better believe it. Better believe it.
Thanks for being with us. Be safe.
Thanks. Take care.
The football season rolls on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets. If your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Here's how to claim this offer. You sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. That's easy. Make your first time deposit of $5 or more. That's simple. Place a $5 plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360. Act now. This offer won't be around forever. All right, as promised, there she is. It's the professor. That's right. It is the Arizona Sports Hall of Famer. It is formerly of the College Football Playoff Committee, Paula Morgan, from Arizona State. Are you really crying tears over it? Or was
I miss it, Brad. It was like the most amazing experience, most amazing 4 years. Really grateful to have done it. I will be happy to have my falls back. It was a little hard juggling that school and, watching endless football, which was fun. But totally miss it. We'll miss the people in that room.
How much can you share with the audience about what your falls were like being in that committee? Because people were curious and you and I could not talk about that then.
Right.
Now you're on the other side. Can you peel the onion back a little bit just to say, okay, this is what it was like, and maybe some of the misconceptions out there from us looking at it?
Absolutely. And I will say, I think I mentioned this on social media, the whole criticism we got, I never minded. I love the game day signs on SportsCenter where we're dressed like clowns, or the people get mad at our picks. We've known each other forever, Brad. And if you're a female sports writer, that's basically your life. So the criticism never bothered me. What did bother me was the suggestion that we are being influenced in any way, shape, or form. And I will say unequivocally, if I could say that word, absolutely not. I mean, 100%. Every time, every decision we made in that room was because we were discussing who we thought were the best teams. And so there was never an ESPN saying, oh, we'd love this matchup, or pressure from the SEC. What are the other crazy things that we would rank teams based on how we wanted them to finish? And it was never any of that. It was truly, truly, truly ethical in how we did it. I think that was the biggest misconception. But as far as my falls, the first couple months, I just watched football all the time. I take notes, especially you start getting an idea of who the top 30, 40 teams are going to be. You pay attention to them. Starting at the end of November, I would fly to Dallas every Sunday and return to Phoenix on Tuesday. And, Sunday in Dallas for me was a kind of catch up cram session. We get these iPads that have every game we want on them, and you get the coach's cut. So I can go back to any college football game and scroll through. I'm going to miss my coach's cut videos, by the way, scroll through and look at games and watch them. And then Monday we'd hit the meeting room around noon and we would go hard until about 8 at night debating like our top 25 and who we would put. And we all individually would rank them. We'd debate it. We'd go on a board, compare them. And then we'd come back Tuesday morning early and spent another 6-7 hours doing the same thing to make sure we had it right. And that was a weekend, and we did that. I did about 6 straight weekends, I think.
So October you would go. End of October. This
end of
so.
November. But no, end of October. Wait, yeah, end of October. Excuse me. Sorry, Brad.
No, fine. Did it ever get contentious? Did it ever get fiery? Was there ever like, are you kidding me? Have you looked at the coach's tape that I've looked at?
Yeah, Ronnie Lott and I went nose to nose a lot. No, we did not. It was never contentious. It was, and Bill Hancock, who oversees the committee, does a really good job, I think, of putting people in the room that can argue respectfully. And so there would be, you know, there would be healthy debates, but never like, you know, I wasn't throwing my coffee across the room at somebody's bad decision.
Yeah.
No, we would just debate it. And then, you know, not everyone always agreed with how the rankings ended up. You know, maybe someone thought this number 4 team should have been number 3 or 7 should be 10, but there are 13 people in the room who had a vote and we would come to an agreement. So.
Did you ever look at it over the last 4 years saying, why did we settle on this team? This is the team that I lobbied for. And you have to say who.
No.
But it didn't go the way that you thought it should go.
I don't think so. I mean, honestly, looking back, certainly when I look back at the 4 we decided on at the end of the year, which is ultimately what we're assigned to do, I thought we hit the mark. I thought we hit the mark again this year that the best 4 teams were there. No, because of the, you know, the other people in the room are a mixture of athletic directors. I mentioned Ronnie Lott, like former players, a lot of former football coaches, and everybody brought a really unique perspective to what they could contribute. So by the end of our decision, I always felt pretty good about the teams that were there.
When you hear the debate, Paula, about it needs to be expanded, you're in that room. You got to block out the noise because it's not expanded.
Right.
Does it, now that you're on the backside, is there merit to expanding it?
So, not that you think this, but I'll clarify, people always thought we had a say in expansion and we never did. Those were the university presidents and commissioners.
Right.
That's one thing I'm sort of uncomfortable getting into, Brad, but I will say if anybody does their homework on things I wrote about before I was on the committee, my opinions were pretty clear. And I think a lot of people see merit in expansion now. And I think that, you know, that's why they're having meetings. They're taking a while and it may be a while before it happens, but it seems like it'll ultimately happen. I don't think that's any big shocking breaking news.
The people that are on the West, out West, what can you say about the level of play? George Kolovkov, which I think has been a breath of fresh air, just hammering away on the lack of Pac-12. Now that you've gone through it the last 4 years, what can you say about the Pac-12 in terms of the playoff and where their standing is in those rooms, in that room?
Well, I mean, we never looked at things per conference. So we never had a discussion about a conference versus this conference. It was always one of these matchups, head-to-head matchups. But I mean, I think when you look at who's getting in the playoffs, at least the last 4 years that I was there, it was a sign that the conference didn't have as much depth from, you know, top to bottom, or at least the strength at the top, like some of the other certain other conferences. And that's not any breaking news. That's just a reality based on who we're, who we're pairing. But yeah, I agree with you about the Pac-12. It looks like the leadership is in really good hands right now.
Yeah. So like an Oregon winning against Ohio State early in the year, the season would go on. You would still watch Oregon. But their level of competition versus who Ohio State was playing, would that be something that would be factored in, not just this year, but every year? It's like, well, we're in November and the Pac-12 really hasn't done much. So this win is not going to be as impressive as that win over in another conference. Would that play into it?
So, and I don't want to get into specifics because we kind of made an agreement. We're not going to talk and discuss specifically how we looked at things, but we would look at every game that they played. And, you know, we get all these metrics that we compare. Strength of schedule is one of them. Head-to-head competition, offensive rankings, defensive rankings. I mean, there's a laundry list of numbers we use that were really valuable. And so that's where that kind of information would come out, you know, as far as strength of schedule and things like that.
Kelly Whiteside takes over, right? And
yep.
is it female for female? Do you believe that inclusivity should be broader than that? Do you have a thought there?
Well, I think they are very much believing in inclusivity, and I think that, you know, they made a decision also to include a media person, and so, which I think is great, because I think it helps for the transparency, and I think Kelly is going to do awesome. But yeah, I mean, do you know Bill Hancock at all? Have you met him?
Yeah, I've had Bill.
Yeah, great guy. Absolutely great guy, with always looking at a perspective of making this room represented by a lot of different people with a lot of different perspectives and backgrounds. And I think that's something he'll keep doing.
Okay. Now that you've been through this, I've always looked at you, and we've known each other a long, long time, that she's more than a columnist. Okay. Now she's in the CFP. That makes a lot of sense. You could go into an administration space, in my humble opinion, of the things you've done at Cronkite, but in the athletics space, but specifically college athletics. What's next for you now that this is behind you? Or is it just, look, I'm very comfortable being at Cronkite and teaching? Because you, Paul, I really think you could run a conference. I really think you could be in some of those spaces.
Thank you, Brad. You've always believed in me from day one, though. So I appreciate you saying that. I love what I do at Cronkite. You know, when I came over here 5 years ago into this sort of teaching mode, I wasn't sure how it would fit. You know, when you live the life of a sports writer and you're traveling and you're courtside and you get all this sort of energy from those moments, it seems like you wouldn't want to change that. But this has been amazing to me. I'm so, and you had this experience here, you know, I mean, I'm so energized by the 20 and 21 year olds that I'm teaching. They're amazing. And, you know, I always hear people like, oh, youth today, they're always on their phones. Oh my gosh, this group is 10 times smarter than I ever was, and thoughtful, and has a much greater sort of sensitivity to society and people and changes we need to make. So I love being in that atmosphere, and I'm really happy here.
Well, and it feels to me, when I taught, and I haven't taught in a couple of years, but when I've taught, it is very much the line to be the next Aaron Andrews or the next Al Michaels goes around the globe 10 times. Mm-hmm. And now there's more and more students that I'll talk to through internship day interview or just when I go speak that understand that the industry as a whole, there's so much more that can be done now. Especially I can go buy a phone like this with a camera with three lenses.
Right.
And as somebody in their mid 50s, I could go out and just go do my own story now, which I could never do.
And, yeah, right.
and so I think the opportunities now are endless. Whereas before, I think the message was, I just want to be on TV and be recognized. Well, no, there's a real strong need for people behind the scenes, or you can, even if you're not the most gifted with a camera, you can get by and shoot stuff. So
yeah, there's some, you know, people ask a lot, you know, is journalism dying because they see what's happening in newspapers? And I say, absolutely not. It's just like your iPhone you just showed us. It just changes every year. It redefines itself. And there are lots of jobs out there. And the more, as you just suggested, sort of well-versed and well-rounded you are, the greater the opportunities. You know, maybe they're not getting hired at newspapers as much, but they're getting hired at sites like yours. You've been very good to Cronkite, or at, you know, at Fort Teams hiring more sort of reporters and social media people and broadcast students. Just a ton of different jobs, but they're absolutely out there. And yeah, the more wide range of skills that you have, the better off you are.
I feel like in this day and age, Paula, and just this is just you and I chopping up, correct me if I'm dead flat wrong, there's more and more broadcast outlets that are really becoming just PR sites for teams. And they're not doing journalism as much as they're just doing all is well, all is great, and we want that. We do not want, or networks, you know, when Ken Rosenthal is shown the door by Major League Baseball's commissioner on the MLB network because he's been too critical, I don't even know how to react to something like that happening, but it's happening more and more and more.
It's and it you know, to be honest, we see it going outside of news too. No matter what cable news outlet you like, you're seeing the guys who are supposed to be delivering the news rolling their eyes when they're saying stuff. And I think they've forgotten on news or in sports that you can have people reporting straight news and you can have pundits. And there's been this weird merging of that, which really frustrates me. And also because I think it's confusing to the listener. They don't realize that there are still journalists out there that can just sort of report the facts. And like you mentioned, there is a lot of, I think, sports people that can still do that. But this younger group of students we see are looking at, you know, the cheerleaders, as you mentioned, and thinking that's what they're supposed to be. And so those are certainly the messages we're trying to get out at Cronkite. You know, let's teach you how to be an objective journalist first. If you want to go to that subjective route after, sure, but you need to know, have those tools to report, because we got to gain the public's trust again, whether it's sports or news or anything else. So
gambling has come in a big way, obviously. Pete Rose is still not in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and yet billions are now being spent. The hypocrisy that I see on that one issue, where 5 years ago the NFL wouldn't touch gambling, and now, of course, it's everywhere. I'm not bagging on gambling. It's just, come on, guys. Where are we at? Let's just go the Pete Rose story for one, and then two, where are we at on this exactly?
It is interesting. I mean, gosh, I remember they wouldn't have any kind of like sporting events in Vegas for many years. No. Because, you know, they had casinos and you could bet on sports. Yeah, that was really strange. You know, interesting with Bonds, the Bonds situation in the Hall of Fame vote. I asked, we had about 40 students in here yesterday, and I asked them how you feel about it. Would you put Bonds in or not? Every single one of them raised their hand. They have such, this generation has a very much a different opinion than we do. And a lot, or not me, actually not me, but a lot of other journalists. And it's like, what's the big deal? You know, it's the gambling or it's steroids or it's, you're not. Yeah. So it's really interesting how much the perspective has changed.
There's also tolerance and forgiveness. And sure. I had Tom Brenneman on earlier, mm-hmm. and you know, tolerance and forgiveness. Sure. And I think in our role as journalists, rather than just holding a hammer over somebody's head till they're in the grave, it is just let's take a step back here. They've paid their dues. They made a mistake. And if you're going to go off integrity of the game, a 20 or 30 year old doesn't really want to hear that, I don't believe.
No. And that's such a great point. I mean, just sort of having compassion, you know, and I've talked to Tom. Tom's a perfect example. I think he's really taken steps. Yes. After what he said, right, is my assumption. And why can't we judge people on their body of work in life instead of one moment and one decision and one very stupid moment? And yep. You needed maybe the public scolding, but people can change and learn. And we're not necessarily in that place in society right now. I know we talk a lot about cancel culture in general. But I think there are a lot of cases when we can move on from bad things people did. We're just not always quite ready to.
It's good to see you. I still have your business card. I have to yes. see you in person.
All right.
A business card of Paula's from 35, 40 years ago somewhere. No, I would say I wouldn't date both of us that far.
So no, not couldn't be. Maybe 20.
10 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Good seeing you.
Great to see you, Brad. Miss you.
There's Paula Bovin, the professor, and we're back with more after this timeout.